Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Shalene, and it's my joy to be able to share a song with you this Saturday. Around last September, right, my 18 months center leader training, if you are keeping up with my sharing the past 2 years, I was part of a vice principal in training program that lasted 18 months. And last September, it ended, and I was faced with a decision to make. You know, remaining as a vice principal was not part of the option. So I would have to choose between being a principal or going back to my previous role as a senior preschool educator. So on one hand, you know, accepting the promotion would have felt like an affirmation of the work put in, of the ability that of the growth that I've gained. And then it definitely comes with like a slight pay increment, right, for all promotions. At the same time, I knew that stepping into this role would mean to carry the full weight of leading a center, the full weight of, you know, making sure everything is run properly. And there's definitely going to be a greater amount of responsibility. On the other hand, you know, returning to my previous role as a senior preschool educator would be more familiar and less daunting. I would still be part of the school's leadership structure to support my principal, but without bearing the full weight of leading the centre. From the world's perspective, stepping into the principal role seemed to be the obvious choice, right? Who wouldn't want to have a promotion, right? Who wouldn't want to have a higher pay? I'm very grateful. I was very grateful for the opportunity to be groomed as a centre leader, and for the positive feedback that I was able to receive. But ultimately, I chose to follow my educator's heart and to return to becoming, to be on the ground more. And I'm glad I did it. You know, during my time as an acting principal, I found it really difficult to find joy in what I was doing. Tiredness slowly built up and even affected my weekend ministry in the kitchen, where alertness is important, knives, soup, everything, very important. Yeah, so it has been 7 months since I've made the decision, and truly the Lord has been good and gracious. There are still moments of challenges and difficulties that comes with the role. But I found a renewed sense of joy in what I do. There is joy in teaching and interacting with the children. There is joy in connecting and supporting my teachers as fellow colleagues and not their boss, right? But most importantly, I found joy in being able to devote more time and energy on in the kitchen ministry. Yes, I may have turned down a promotion, but I've also chosen to choose joy, to choose joy over what this world can offer. You know, in Philippians 4:11, it says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I've learned to be content with where I am now and what I'm able to do both at work and in church." Today, the song that I've chosen is entitled "My Father's Love." I especially love the words in the chorus. "My Father's love is strong and true, always believing, always seeing me through. So no matter what happens in His grand design, I'll be fine with my Father's love. I can find contentment because I have my Father's love. I have my Heavenly Father with me. And I know that He has already given all that I need out of His love and His grace for me." So would you join me in singing "My Father's Love"?
Thank you, Sherlyn, for leading us in a time of worship. And truly, may we learn to look to the Lord as we make important decisions in life. Sometimes it is better to choose joy rather than to be caught up with the things of the world. Nothing wrong with advancing. And I think it's important for each and every one of us to be able to understand where we are and what we ought to look at in life. Okay, we're going to pray and then we're going to look into Ecclesiastes 11. This afternoon, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You once again that we can study Your words. May we continue to gain greater understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and faith. We pray that you will continue to enlighten us and bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week, we were looking at this idea of generosity and how we want to be able to develop the right kind of spirit to be able to give to the poor and to those who are in need. We also looked at how we ought to have wisdom in doing things rather than to rely on based upon just observations and, you know, finding all kinds of excuses. I think we just want to learn to work and to be diligent. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. Now, let's look at verse 5 onwards. So in verse 5, it says, "As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything." Now, part of the problem with us as human beings is that we will always be, to a certain extent, limited in our knowledge and our understanding, right? I mean, it's good that we have a mind to be able to grow intellectually, in terms of knowledge, in terms of understanding, but yet we recognize there is a limitation to how we are able to gain that understanding and knowledge. Now, so the first thing that he raises in this section is about the wind. As you do not know what is the way of the wind. So, very limited understanding. Of course, you're talking about Solomon's time. Where does the wind go? Direction of the wind? And so on. Nobody knows. Very difficult to determine. Of course, today we have meteorology to determine, okay, the winds, the weather, the rain, and so now we even have apps and all to tell you where the clouds are and satellite pictures and so on. Anyway, we have one, the elderly senior man in our midst. His name is Mr. Wong. So he used to be at Changi Airport up at the observation, and he is a he looks at the weather, determine weather for the airlines and for the airport and things like that. So I thought it was quite interesting talking to him. So he always likes talking to my brother, Pastor Mitch. They talk about the clouds and right and so on. But during that time, it's very hard to predict what the wind, how it flows. Okay, and then he goes on to say, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, right? Again, during that time, very limited knowledge about how a baby grows. That time, no ultrasound and nothing like what we have today, right? We have gynees who can show you, okay, this is a picture of the baby in his womb, in the womb, and so on, how the baby grows, how the bone grows. So, of course, at that point in time, human biology was very limited. Okay, so again, very limited in terms of knowledge. And then we go on to verse 5, right? And he says, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. So then he brings in the idea of God's way. And of course, how much do we really know about God and his works? Again, that knowledge is limited. How much do we really know? So coming from Solomon's perspective, he recognizes it's all very limited. Now, of course, we have the Psalms to help us understand the works of God a little bit. Let's just turn to Psalm 111. And we are given a glimpse of what the works of God is. So we have some understanding, but yet limited. Right, so in verse 2, it says, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. So the question is, do we have pleasure in understanding the works of God do we study it? So the psalmist, this is something that he sought to do. And he recognizes, right, what are some of the features of the works of God? It is honorable, verse 3. It is glorious, right? It is wonderful. His works are wonderful, verse 4, to be remembered, so they are memorable, and so on, right? And then we also read about how the works of God reflect God's attributes, right? It shows His righteousness, verse 3, shows His graciousness, His full of compassion, verse 4, and full of power, right? Verse 6, He has declared to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. And it goes on. So we can have some understanding of the works of God. The psalmists do tell us about how the works of God is described and how it reflects who God is. So we look at all that God does, whether it is in terms of His provision, in terms of His creation. We can catch a glimpse of who God is, and we should study this, and it's to be remembered, right? We also read about how God is mindful of His covenant, right? He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. What God has promised, what God has sought to write in terms of His word, all these things would help us understand the works of God. Okay, so this is, to a certain extent, knowledge of the works of God. But can we fully understand the works of God? And the answer is no. Right? There is where the profundity of God's work will come in. Can we understand everything? No. We can understand to some extent. But to understand everything, how God works, wow, that is something that we can never fully comprehend, appreciate, because it is just so profound. Okay, so that has to do with the works of God, knowledge. So by all means, we want to keep growing in terms of our knowledge. We want to keep understanding things. Therefore, we study, we pursue, we continue to develop knowledge. Of course, got AI now, is very easy, right? Whatever you want to find out, just type in, ask the right questions. It all comes out on your screen, right? Nowadays, people go interview and ask, can I use AI, you know, as part of the interview, because that's what we've been doing. I think that's not the best, but that's what you get also, right? Okay, so that has to do with knowledge. Now, let's go on to verse 6. Go back to Ecclesiastes. So in verse 6, we read about the place of work. So you have the works of God, but we also have the place of how do we work. Right? So in verse 6, he goes on to say, in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So we all understand that we work, right? We work in the morning, early in the morning, we wake up and we go off to our workplace and we work, or you work at home and you start on a project, right? And then evening, some of us will have to work also because there's just things to look at, things to fulfill your duties, and right, sometimes you have to wait until at night and clear your emails and so on, right? You got meetings and so on. And then he goes on to say, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So you don't know, right? We all start projects. It could be some kind of project, and you ask yourself whether that project will be successful. So you have all these startups, so many startups, right? But will the startup continue to function and be successful? a lot of failures along the way, right? That's the reality. You start something, but can start, but don't know whether you will be successful or not. Right? Some of you have been in startups, right? And that's the reality of startups today. They start, but don't know whether can continue, but don't know whether can be successful. Right? So, you know, we have our EDB, they try to bring in, you know, all kind of projects and all, but whether successful or not, that's another thing. That's the reality of life. Right? And you don't know whether this will work out. So you do trials, you want to, okay, you know, companies that deal with drugs and all, okay, let's start with this possible, you know, drug, and then they do all the tests, they go for trials, whether it works out or not, another consideration. So that's the reality of life. Whether you are successful or not in your project, in the things that you start, you don't know, right? It could be okay, it could be successful, but end of the day, we all need to work hard, right? True or not? Is Solomon correct to some extent? Now, of course, some of you work for the government, you don't have issue, right? The government will just take care of you, right? Iron rice bowl, you don't care whether you work or not, you can always start something else. No, not really, okay? Definitely must work, right? Okay, let's ask Glenda. Glenda, you shared about the you do things and then things don't turn out. Yeah, so how?
Yeah, so how?
So but that's the real. I mean, I'm not asking for an answer actually, but really, that's just the reality of life, right? That's the reality of work. Sometimes we do things and we start on a project and then things just don't play out. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Right, but does it mean that we don't work as hard? Does it mean that we no right?
I guess sometimes if it happens over and over again, there yeah. is a temptation or a sort of discouragement, right?
Correct,
where
correct.
You might not want to
put so much effort
right? in, you know. And I think that's probably, you know,
correct.
If you feel like you keep getting
knocked
disappointed,
down, disappointed, the bosses, they change their mind. Bosses like to change their mind all the time, right? That's why they're called bosses. They just want to boss you around and tell you what to do, but they also don't know what to do. But you're right. After a while, you feel disappointed, you feel discouraged. Ah, yeah, why it was so hard? Oh, for nothing. Vanity of vanities, man. Right? Isn't that the reality of life? But yet, is that how we should look at work? You see my point? The danger is that after a while, you adopt a certain way of work because of the circumstances that you find yourself in. And that can be challenging. So then, of course, Proverbs tells us otherwise. Let's turn to Proverbs 10. Right? And then Proverbs tells us, okay, verse 16, the labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. So, well, as the righteous, we continue to labor on. That's important. Right? Ultimately, it leads to life one way or another. Chapter 12, verse 24. Right, it says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Yeah, that's true, right? Last week, we talked about laziness. A person who is lazy will be told what to do, and he is put to forced labor. But the hand of the diligent will rule. You do well, you get promoted one way or another. And then, 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, right? You can all the desires. Okay, I want to do this, I want to do that, but nothing gets done. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Well, of course, that is, you reap what you sow, right? You're diligent, you work hard, you will also be rewarded for it. But this is Proverbs, this is wisdom. That means at the end of the day, if we want to be righteous, if we want to continue to be wise, then we need to be diligent. But you're right. The reality is sometimes we try and then it doesn't work out. We try again, it doesn't work out. We try again, it doesn't work out. It does get discouraging. But we also don't want to end up being depressed and discouraged, disillusioned, then it's okay, lah, change job. You know, this job is not for me, and so on. Okay, Gordon, what do you think? Now we start from the back. Okay, what do you think? Work, how do you see?
Work has always have their own fair share of challenges. Lah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
but what do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean by that? Fair share or challenges? What challenges are you talking about? Yeah, what challenges are you talking about?
I mean,
difficult bosses, colleagues.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, there are.
But it's also learning how to just be blameless and
just
carry on with whatever they
correct.
Assign you.
Precisely. See, so I think it's important to be able to have the correct understanding perspective or how you look at work, right? There are times that circumstances does go against your situation, your circumstances, and it doesn't result or lead to what you hope it to be, right? And yet, we persevere on. We continue. Right? And of course, you recently got promoted, so we are glad for you. And yeah, really happy for you. You persevere on because you share with me all the difficulties and challenges that you have been through all this while. And, you know, along the way, the Lord continues to bless, which is great. Right, but you're right. We be blameless, we continue, be diligent. Now, then let's move on. Okay? Let's go on to the next part, which I want to focus a little bit more. So in verse 7, let's go back to Ecclesiastes 11. Okay, verse 7, it says, "Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun." Right? "But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all." Okay. So there is this period, right, in which there will be days of sunlight. Right? Light is sweet. Have you all tasted light? I enjoy looking at the sun, looking at sunrise, sunset, and just being able to appreciate the sun. Thank God for the sun, for its beauty, for what it does for us as in our world and so on. And it's meant to be enjoyed. Right, whenever you come out of a cold, whether it's a room or cold weather, and then when the sun comes up, wow, you enjoy the heat and so on. So now, of course, this represents happy and pleasant days. These are days of sunlight, days of light, days in which things are going on well, things are rosy. Right? And then verse 8 goes on to say, "But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, his life is blessed, and therefore he has a happy and wonderful life." Which is great. I think we all look for that. We enjoy those moments. I certainly just enjoy the sun itself. You give me sunrise, sunset, clouds, sun rays going down over the sea, and whoa, I'm happy, right? You just enjoy these things and what the sun does. right? And that's understandable. They're happy days. But then, in verse 8, it goes on to say, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. So then he changed. Right? There will be dark days. No matter how many good days we will experience, things can just turn around. Right? Joy can fade, dark days will appear, and they can be many days. They don't seem to end. What are dark days? Dark days can be financial loss. It could be illness. It could be bereavement. It could be days in which you find yourself just struggling. It could be, you know, all kinds of difficulties that we will go through. These dark days will come. So while light will be sweet, pleasant days, eyes to behold the sun, those are great days, dark days will come. And that is where we need to be that much more be concerned about. Because in verse 8, then he goes back to this idea, right? Let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. So then we go back to this sorrowful perspective of life, vanity of vanities. And the danger is that we can easily get there, right? We find, wow, this is a bad day, it's a very difficult day, it's just one of those days, one of those dark days. And then we can end up being sorrowful very, very quickly. Good days, great. But then dark days will come. So how? How do you face these kind of realities? See, things can change very quickly. Previously, no war in Iran, everything else, suddenly, boom, wow, whole Middle East is just in a mess. War, and you see, you know, it keeps coming up again and again. Suddenly, right? Everybody is basking in the sunshine, right, whether it's in Doha or, you know, in UAE, everything, wow, so beautiful. Suddenly, wow, missile, things can turn just like that. Nobody expected these things, right? But that's the reality of life. Things can change very quickly. So how do we cope? How do we cope with such realities? And we need to be realistic. We need to be very aware. And I think we need to be that much more prepared for such realities. Okay. Angela, what do you think? Back to the front. Last week she said, yeah, Pastor Mark, you never asked me. Okay, lah, I asked you. Just kidding. So we are talking about bright days and dark days, right? And these days are the realities of life, right? Things may be good, then suddenly things can just change very quickly. The problem is that we all are not prepared for those dark days. We can theoretically, okay, think about it, okay, let's try and, grow our faith and so on. But in reality, when it hits, oftentimes you are not as prepared.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think I'm a pessimist by nature.
Pessimist?
Yeah, so I expect dark days to come. And I think...
That's reality of life, right?
Yeah, so in that sense, then I just take it in the stride in a way, because there's nothing, unless there's something within my control to be able to change it, or then...
But in reality, a lot of times these things are not within our control, right? I think that's a part of the problem, right? When things are not in our control.
Yeah, and I think that's when... the problem with I mean, for myself, is that many times it's a hindsight lesson where we realize that, you know, through this particular issue, then you had to place our trust in God a bit more through that whole episode. Then look back and...
So we learn from hindsight lah, to some extent.
Yeah, right? then the vow to like, okay, next time you're not gonna, that's not gonna happen. But unfortunately, sometimes it's a cycle that keeps repeating.
Appreciate that. Yeah, you're right. You know, because sometimes the lessons that we ought to learn, we maybe learn to a certain extent, but not as what we ought to lah. Right? Okay, Lenya, what do you think?
So at lunch this week with my colleagues, my colleague was sharing about how she's struggling with her aging mum.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, trying to coax her to see the doctor, to trust the doctor, because there's also a lot of misinformation out there, you know, that old people tend to believe. Sure. And so I'm... based on what I have experienced, then we were able to share as, you know, fellow young adults, you know, and to possibly be a bit more prepared, I think, through encouraging one another. Maybe that's one way of being better prepared for the dark days ahead. Yeah, so, and I remembering what Pastor Mitch shared at family camp before, and how he prepared himself for your parents'
passing.
And he was very intentional in the way he did it. So I thought it was a very, very good lesson for me to learn, because I was caught unprepared with my mom, but now with my dad, I can maybe learn, and then I sought to also be that encouragement to my colleagues as well.
Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit, right? And many of you, you do have aging parents. You are in your 30s and early 40s. Or late, okay lah, maybe some, right? And your parents would be already at an age where death is, you know, death is a, you know, sickness comes in and more medical concerns. How prepared are we? See, that's the reality of life. Okay, Shirlene spoke already. So, Alistair?
I think, to be very honest, I don't know if my heart will ever be that prepared. I think the emotion of panic and the emotion of being stunned at the moment, it's a very natural, very visceral response.
Yeah,
but I think it's hard to change that reaction to a response of faith after that. I think that's where the, lack of a better word, the turnaround time,
okay.
to respond in faith is what I struggle with. Sometimes you can just circle in the dark thoughts and in the sorrow of that.
You're right, you know. So the thing is that a lot of times we are not as prepared. There may be some preparation, but when it hits us, we find ourselves actually lacking so much in terms of our, you know, preparedness. And as you say, we tend to panic, we tend to be anxious, and, you know, what's our turnaround time? When the news comes, start the watch, and then you see how long you take to turn around, right? Where you can really find that peace of heart and mind, okay, this is something that I can deal with. It's never easy, right? It is something that we all have to learn and to... So, you know, Pastor Mitch mentioned about my parents. Actually, when my uncle passed away, it was something that I really had to come to terms already. So my uncle passed away 3 months before my dad passed away. I didn't expect that he would pass away that soon. But it was a reality that was coming. Because, you know, my uncle was just maybe about 2 or 3 years older than my dad. But it was a reality. But of course, my dad's passing was very, very sudden. It was not something that we would have expected. But nonetheless, it was something that we had to learn. Okay, how do we deal with this? How do we face this reality? How do we learn to cope with this situation, which came just very, very suddenly? And just learning how to not panic, but finding that heart of faith that we all need. Let's turn to Psalm 112. Okay, the next Psalm, we looked at Psalm 111, so let's look at Psalm 112. And we see how, again, the psalmist sought to face these times of darkness. Now, one of the key things is this. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And I tell you very honestly, those two things are key. One is that you fear the Lord. Rather than to fear circumstances of life or fear, you know, the days that will come or fear men in any way, it is better to fear the Lord. Meaning our focus, our reverence, you know, we sanctify the Lord in our hearts. We fear the Lord. And then not only that, we delight greatly in his commandments. Now, what is delighting greatly? Tell me what is delighting greatly. We all read, but do you delight? What is delighting greatly? Do you really find joy in reading the Lord's Word? Do you take time, okay, you know what? I really want to read the Lord's Word. Right? And not only that, it is something that you delight greatly. See, when you delight greatly in the Word of God, it becomes your focus. It becomes something that you think about. You anticipate, okay, you know what? I'm going to read the Lord's Word now. It is something that is not done out of, okay, I feel guilty, I better read. It is something that you delight in. Then it becomes your focus. You become mindful of it. And not only that, when you think about it, it brings joy. Can you see this? Right? And this is how the psalmist starts. And he says, blessed. That's how you are truly blessed. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Okay? Then he goes on to talk about blessings, right? Blessings that will come. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Which is great. So, all the blessings that will come, even to the next generation and the generations to come. Then verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. To me, that is key. When darkness comes, when the dark days come, when you have those days where it becomes really very challenging and difficult, you ask yourself, how much light do we really have? Here, the blessing is that light will come. Unto the upright there arises light. Why light? Why light? Davina, why light? Of all the things that you need when you go through dark days, why light?
It's like a sign of hope.
Sign of hope. But why light itself? Light, darkness?
It dispels the darkness.
It dispels the darkness. Whatever we go through, when we face those dark days, there is darkness. Darkness that is felt, fear, anxiety, uncertainty, and so on and so forth. But when you have light, see, a lot of times we don't look for the light. It is when you long to God and His Word, when you greatly delight in His Word, that Word will bring that light that will dispel the darkness. So we need to look for that light, not just to, you know, be in despair, in, okay, this is difficult, it's tough. You can try and tahan and go through it and so on, but actually, what we really need is light. Because light arises in the darkness, and it is the light that will dispel the darkness and it will guide us through. Now let's go on to verse 6. He says, surely he will never be shaken. Right? The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Ah, that is the... You see, we're all afraid of evil tidings. Christmas time, glad tidings. We always sing, oh, glad tidings, or great joy, and so on. But there will come evil tidings. Evil news, bad news. Suddenly, wow, sickness comes. I got this. Right? So I have a heart issue. Never mind, I learned, right? Everybody's been telling me. Go and get a watch, go and, you know, got they can do your ECG and things like that. Well, okay, I'll try today. Do whatever we can, right? Everybody's been telling me, oh, got to eat less of luncheon meat. Never mind. I say, well, in moderation. Even the doctor says in moderation is okay. No problem. Once in a while. I don't eat every day. Right? But the thing is that he goes on to say, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast. That's what you need. You need a heart that is going to be steadfast, not shaken, through these times, through these dark days, days of evil tidings. How? Well, you learn to trust in the Lord. And when you learn to trust in the Lord, His heart is established. That is what you want to be able to have. A heart that is established. A heart that is not going to be moved. It's going to be established. You are steady. You are steadfast. You are strong. Right? Difficulties will come. Illnesses will come. You look at, you know, what Sui shared and what he is going through now at this point. Right? And with Yi-Yong, it's tough. It's difficult. They're just starting, you know, family so young. 4 children. And yet, there's this reality of cancer. And it's not easy. It's going to be really, really tough. It's an upward climb. Right? But the heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. His heart is established. How established is your heart? He will not be afraid, right? Until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Well, of course, ultimately, it is God that was going to deliver. Right? How established is the heart? So, right, going back to Alistair, your turnaround time will tell you how much is your heart steadfast, established, right? If not, we recognize, okay, panic come. And I appreciate your honest. I mean, many of us will react. Many of us will panic. Many of us will become anxious. Many of us will... Right, today I was just talking to, you know, one of the young people, and he's telling me, wow, this week, Pastor Mark, 3 of my... school friends, they're all crying, you know. One anxious schoolwork, one didn't get into the particular, I think, student council or something. Oh, I cry. Say, wow, 3 of my friends cried this week. I guess they're all going through a, you know, pretty tough time in school and so on and so forth. Tough. And we will all go through our own fair share of difficulties in life. Tears will come. Understandable. This is only natural. But how established is our heart? Right? And it reflects the trust that we have in the Lord. So this is something for us to learn. There are things for us to learn concerning knowledge. Okay, important. Let's continue to grow in terms of our knowledge, in terms of knowledge of God, His works. That's important. Right? And appreciate Him and His profundity. Let's continue to do what we need to do, our work. Right? But we also recognize there will be good days, there will be bad days, there will be dark days, and they will come. No matter how. Sometimes you tend to think, well, everything is fine, everything is good, everything is wonderful. But then, dark days will come. Just last week, brother-in-law, you know, shared that, I went, got a new job, but suddenly at the new job, things were very, very difficult. Then you decided, okay, you know what, this is not for me. It's tough. It doesn't mean that we change job, things will be rosier. It's not. Things are tough. That's the reality of life. But we just want to be able to learn what it means to have that faith. So whether we stay at a particular work or whether we move to another particular work, we learn to have that kind of faith. There will be good days, there will be tough days. Right? So we also cannot keep asking, okay, we just want good days. We just want days of sunlight and brightness and blessing and everything is fine. You can't. Sometimes it's good, great, enjoy it. While the sun shines, make hay, whatever. Right? But the dark days will come. But then we are not afraid. We find that kind of faith of heart that is stable, that is steadfast, that is established, and we face those realities until the bright days will come again. And we continue. That's life. We will all face this one way or another, wherever we are. Right? While you have good days, enjoy. Don't ask for dark days. Right? Sometimes, Pastor Mark, my life, you know, no suffering. I always tell people, don't ask for difficulties in life. Sometimes, I need to go through difficulties in order to grow my faith. Right? This was something that I learned a long time ago. Don't ask for difficulties and right? It will come sooner or later. Don't need to ask. Right? And I think it's important for us. Nonetheless, we learn to find that faith and that trust in the Lord to face these realities. Okay, well, go into your discussion groups and then let's think this through a little bit more. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for your words once again. And help us, Lord, to recognize the importance of having diligence in the work that we do. We recognize that there are days in which there will be good and blessings, but we also recognize that there will be dark days. We pray that you will help us to understand life for all that it is. And be able to continue to grow our faith, especially upon your word. That we will be able to develop a heart that is stronger, that is more steadfast, that is more established. That we will be that much more prepared to face these dark days. And we know that they will come. We pray that you will bless us, even as we give an offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.